When the produce supply chain grinds to a halt because of a technical glitch, you can't ignore it or delay it any longer. And there's always room for improvement and innovation. I'm talking tech. It's changing minute by minute, creating efficiencies, but also headaches. There's a clear return on investment on tech advances, short-term and long-term. Not getting hacked, for one. Data systems available to everyone in the company that can be acted upon. Being more accessible to customers. Recovering from malfunctions faster. Oh, and increased sales. We all tend to really like that one. Hey, I'm Amy Souter, your host for the Tip of the Iceberg podcast and the editor of Retail Education and Produce Market Guide, PMG for short. Don't forget, the next contest of Produce Artist Award Series is coming up, and it's all about spring and early summer merchandising displays. We want to see your great work. The entry deadline is June 9th. Send us 6 to 10 photos of your current store produce displays, along with your name, job title, company, and location. Email it to artists@producemarketguide.com. That's artists, plural, with an S. artists@producemarketguide.com. This contest's categories include produce manager, produce merchandiser or specialist, mangoes, Vidalia onions, berries, melons, and sweet corn. This particular episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast marks the start of a produce technology focus series with ZAG Technical Services. We begin with a chat between our guest co-hosts, Robert Collings, ZAG Marketing Director, and Melinda Goodman, Chief Storyteller and Ag Advocate of Full Tilt Marketing. They'll explain the why behind this series and tell you what to expect. So let's join the conversation.
We're happy to be guest hosting the Tip of the Iceberg podcast with the Packer and talking all things ag tech. It's probably a little bit unexpected coming from two talking heads in marketing, but don't worry, we won't be at a loss for words, even if we are at a loss for the technical expertise of the cyber wizards who do this stuff for a living. I'm your host, Rob Collings, Director of Marketing at ZAG Technical Services, and I'm joined by my co-host, Melinda Goodman of Full Tilt Marketing.
Hey, Rob, how are you today?
I am awesome. Thanks, Melinda. And what's happening in your world?
Well, it's kind of exciting. I'm coming to you from Miami today. I'm going to be off to Colombia for a week talking avocados. But in the meantime, I mean, who would have expected that the IT guys and gals are giving us the keys to the castle, the expert locker to talk about tech? I mean, are we really qualified for this?
Did they?
You're right. We probably don't have keys to anything in IT troubleshooting. But at the same time, marketing and ag tech, you know a little bit about that. I know a little bit about that. Mostly, I understand the produce universe. And part of that gives me a little insight about ag tech that the average person probably doesn't know, doesn't even think about, honestly. We're not really experts in it, but we know enough to know we need it. I can admit, just not that long ago, I mean, I was like most people. I thought about tech, and it's just very basic form. I broke my computer, called the IT guys, and I said, it doesn't work anymore. They asked me, well, what did you do? And I say, I don't know. It just doesn't do that thing anymore. Will you fix it? So just very simplistically, tech was IT guys who fixed computers. I know your tech strategists and tech experts would be like, yeah, no, that's not really what we do. Seriously, it's so much more complex than that. Break it down for me. Tell me what's the difference between like IT troubleshooting as I would understand it and really strategic technical services.
Yeah, sure. So think about it in terms of, say, your car and getting it repaired or maintenance. So, you know, your car needs maintenance. And if you don't do the maintenance, it breaks down. So, you know, you're on the highway, it's 110 degrees, you're on your way.
Where do you live that it's 110 degrees? I mean, this isn't Saudi Arabia.
No, but, you know, I mean, marketing. So the 90 degrees is 110. And anyways, you're on your way to your kid's graduation or something like that, right? So it's not a happy day. And that's what IT folks call break fix. You know, things break, they get fixed, the client pays for it. To your question about IT strategy, it's obviously better to invest in the future than the past. And taking a strategic approach is about investing your time and money, or a company's time and money, in IT so that it delivers competitive advantage in the future. So not only because you want to know when you need to replace equipment, expand services, budget for CapEx, maybe make decisions about whether the spend is better in the cloud as OpEx, but because you want to make decisions about how IT contributes to building future demand for your business. So one is very reactive, one is much more proactive and future looking.
So it's really interesting to think about that from a future looking standpoint, right? Like, man, I mean, my mind's kind of blown when I stop and think about that from a standpoint of, I don't even know if there's any IT guys that have a seat at the table, like starting to look ahead to the future and getting that ability to sit with the C-suite and talk about how you use tech to grow.
Yeah, well, I certainly think that, you know, that is changing. You know, big companies have CISOs and all those kind of things, but certainly in, you know, what I've seen in ag, often you have an IT director and they don't have that seat at the table. And part of what having a great IT, strategic IT partner is about is being able to go and have those business level conversations that are not about the feeds and speeds or widgets of things, but about actual business outcomes.
So, I mean, when we're talking business outcomes, and I've heard you say this before, I've heard your CEO, Greg, say this before, companies who embrace technology as a business advantage just grow faster. I mean, that's, come on, at the end of the day, that's what we all want to do. We all want to grow our business. So how do you see that? That's a powerful statement.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting too, right? Now, I don't have data on this, so it's perhaps more observational than, you know, backed by any empirical evidence.
But, oh, that's, you know, like marketing 101.
Well, you and I both know there's a lot of data in marketing. What I can say is that in the 3 or so years I've been with Zag, you know, I've seen our clients 2x and 3x revenue. And I'm not talking a few hundred grand. I'm talking, you know, hundreds of millions and, in fact, billions of dollars of revenue.
Wow. I mean, seriously, that alone. I mean, what a company could say, I can grow 2 times, 3 times my size now just by using tech.
Well, look, I'm sure there are other macroeconomic factors driving some of it, right? And it's not just tech. It's coming from how they think about the growth of their company and where technology fits in with how they'll win. And so it's a strategic where to play how to win decision. And I'm certainly not saying, you know, IT was the exclusive driver of it. But what I've noticed is the companies that do invest in technology, whether it's in the field, production lines, in data and software services, and yeah, in IT as well, they, you know, probably have better margins that they're then able to reinvest in the business and consequently take business from competitors. So, you know, what I will say about the contribution of IT is a little bit like marketing. How is IT possibly like marketing?
Yeah, how is it? Like, because it's like, this is such a big brain thing, right? Like, it's hard to look at it that way. But wait, I think I know where you're going with this. I can't wait to hear this because now I have some ideas.
So look, marketing is a non-linear time lag multiplier of business performance, but most functions like sales and operations are linear. So marketing is a multiplier, an accelerant, a point of leverage, and so is IT. So, you know, a lot of CFOs think of their IT spending in terms of ROI. I do that to you.
Yeah.
Now, what's the ROI on this? What's the ROI on that?
Right. Now it makes sense. Like, I've never really thought about it that way. Right. But yeah, sitting and breaking it down and saying by doing X, we were able to leverage and grow the business. And I think in agriculture operations, we think so much like, how much does it cost? How long will it take to pay it off? What's the depreciation schedule? Right. It's a very, I know if I add this piece of equipment, I'm going to be able to operate X amount faster. I'm going to be able to pack X amount more, get more out the door. And I'll be the first to say, yeah, it's very hard sometimes to put an ROI in marketing, but yet we know we can't live without it, but there isn't always an ROI. IT is probably the same. And I love that you're finding some of these key ways that you're making these connections. And I'm assuming in some cases, like, it's a time saver, right? Like, it's an effectiveness issue.
Yeah, well, that's actually really, really good point. And I mean, look, IT has to deliver ROI. So does marketing, but it's a very short term, you know, it's based on a quarterly performance typically or something like that, right? You know, I mean, let me ask you, you know, what's the ROI of your iPhone?
Oh my God, it's my whole world. Like, my husband thinks if I lost it, like, I wouldn't know what to do with myself tomorrow. He thinks I love it more than him.
I know, right? Me too. You know, I mean, how much more effective are you for your clients because of your iPhone? It's difficult. I mean, you can measure it probably, but It's a little difficult. So the same is true for IT. Not getting hacked seems pretty effective to me. Data and software services that, you know, make data that are in disparate systems available to everybody in the company in a cohesive, actionable way so they can make, you know, more accurate decisions more quickly. That seems effective to me. So it surprises me that, you know, a lot of executives think about IT as a cost rather than the multiplier of business performance that it is.
But I think that goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. This is like the simplistic way that so many of us look at IT, right? It's just the break fix versus the strategic reality of how tech lives in our world. And I mean, at every turn now, whether, you know, whatever magazine I open up, I'm reading about something new in ag tech, I'm seeing how ag tech is advancing the industry in some ways, but that also creates realities of, I now know that ag tech also creates risk, and it's hard to rationalize probably for some people, like cost of the investment, upkeep of that ag tech investment, training of that ag tech investment, but also knowing that, okay, the more ways I'm online, the more Internet of Things, the more risk I have. And it makes it feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't use that. If I'm not doing that, I'm not at risk, right? Like that's back to that really simplistic breakdown. But there, it doesn't have to be that complicated. It shouldn't be looked at like, well, I don't know, I'll pick the thing, right? I could get sick, like, so I maybe shouldn't just fly and stay home. But there's sort of basic hygiene, like, well, wash your hands. It's not that complicated. You know, you don't want your engine to blow up in your car. Maybe go get the oil changed every once in a while. I'm guessing there's some pretty simple things to do, which are kind of like cyber maintenance, cyber hygiene. I don't know. That's a really simplistic way for me to break it down.
Well, yeah, there are, you know, I mean, cybersecurity is no joke. I could probably make jokes about viruses and washing servers or something like that, right? I mean, you know, if someone hacks me, I guess they get what they deserve.
Rob, what are you saying? You have searched for your favorite bourbon online. Or yeah. What you're going to do at Oktoberfest when you visit Germany.
You know me too well. In all seriousness, not producing, not shipping, not taking orders for a couple of weeks.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Well,
I can't. You just asked me how much I love my iPhone. If like somebody took away my iPhone for a whole day, I don't know what I'd do with myself. I can't imagine being in a business where I couldn't ship for a whole week, let alone weeks.
Yeah, not so funny now, I suppose. So no. Yeah, you can't ship with post-it notes, as my CEO, Greg, often says, right? You know, IT and technology and ag tech more broadly is just fundamentally integrated into all of our businesses, and securing it is of critical, fundamental importance to the overall health and security of the business.
I mean, I suppose when you think about it, there is no portion of the supply chain at this point that is not automated. I mean, we're turning on irrigation from our cell phones in some cases. We are looking at remote cameras monitoring weather or pests. Gosh, I mean, like if I walk through the whole supply chain, what? Like harvesters are carrying handheld devices that are scanning box tags in the field. Obviously, where our lines are connected, monitoring weights, packouts, and then of course you get into the whole EDI interface with the orders and the sales and the shipments, and then you add freight, and that's a whole other thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've read the scary books, I've watched the scary movies about how society breaks down, right? When like the supply chain stops and nobody can ship anything for some reason. Like, does it have to be that scary?
No, I mean, you know, but you see it all the time. And, you know, these things are happening all the time, and it's avoidable, or at least the ability to be able to recover in a timely manner to continue your business operations is something every executive should be able to know that their company can do. So, you know, whilst the incidents themselves, you know, we're fighting some very, very well-equipped adversaries, you know, and you can't, you know, always get it right, but you should be able to recover every time quickly.
Every company, big and small, relies on technology. From the field, to the warehouse, to administration, uptime stability is critical to your bottom line and to supply chain continuity. Cybersecurity is one of the greatest risks to modern agriculture. Contact ZAG Technical Services for your technology risk assessment and let us check your tech. Visit zagtech.com.
I obviously met the ZAG team about a little over a year ago at Viva Fresh. And I was worried at the time, you know, I was looking for education topics. And I thought at the time, you know, cybersecurity is a known risk. I mean, everybody out there is talking about it. You just mentioned like know your adversaries, right? It seems crazy to think that there are a whole sort of cyber hacking farms, you know, that this is like this whole business that ultimately exists. And then it makes people like you have, you know, and your team have to have jobs to do this. And I mean, I thought then, like, this is cyber risk was just this unknown that nobody was talking about. Even, you know it's happening, but everybody says, oh, it's not going to happen to me. Or it only happens to the big guys. It only happens to Fortune 500 companies. And then we know the reality is it's happening. People just aren't talking about it. Like, why aren't we talking about it more? Why are we keeping this stuff out of the news? Why do your clients come to you know, and say like, oh, just don't tell anybody, just fix it? Why are we trying to hide this really big thing that has, you know, massive potential to disrupt the food supply chain?
That's such a big question. There's a podcast episode for us to go and get a super smart person to answer that. But I think there's sort of perhaps some historic shame in it. And so you don't want to be sharing that it happened to you. I think there's perhaps a little bit of fear that, you know, maybe a competitor will come and perhaps take some business from you, or so maybe some processes get exposed or something. But, you know, everyone knows when it happens. There's a whole bunch of ways people can find out whether they're looking at, you know, your field operations or just the grapevine, doing the grapevine thing, right? But to you, you know, one of the things you said is really important, which was, you know, hey, it won't happen to me. I think that, you know, we hear it that people say, oh, they're too small. You know, they're too small, or they're not going to get targeted. Or some folks saying, hey, you know, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just got to outrun you. You know, those kind of attitudes, that's kind of fine. Except, you know, as one of my colleagues says, you know, cyber criminals, they don't target you. They find you. You know, they just use tools that simply scan computer networks for gaps. And when they find one, they go to work. They'll encrypt everything so you can't produce, right? And by the way, they know when harvests are. They know when season is. And that's
I saw that. Like, just what was it? Like a year ago USDA put out some federal briefing saying like food supply chain is more vulnerable during harvest time. And like hackers are looking at our harvest.
Yeah, they'll do ACH transfer attempts at 4 p.m. on a Friday. They'll hit you on a weekend, on, you know, long important holidays like the 4th of July. I mean, they're not dummies, right? They're running businesses too. They're criminal enterprises. And so they'll just go and encrypt everything so you can't produce, then demand a ransom if you haven't done what's necessary, like I was saying before, to be ready to recover quickly so you can continue operations. And they'll try and extort you for, you know, whether it's 50 grand, 500, 5 mil, they don't care. They'll just get what they can, right? You know, what's worse than sort of the impact on the individual business is, you know, the impact on Americans and our allies. And, you know, a recent hack, say on a Texas, there's a Texas-based food distributor that was involved in a cyber incident that flowed through to fast food chains, closing stores because they couldn't get supplies. There was a hack recently to a fairly big global company with Salinas operations that had flow-on effects in retail. If you recall the JBS hack from, I think, 2021 or thereabouts, you know, they stood down 7,000 of my Aussie compatriots down under while they couldn't operate. You know,
I can't even imagine. I mean, it's hard to fathom how, I mean, I know it's not a single person, right? You just said it's a criminal enterprise, right? But like that you're shutting down multiple locations, multiple operations.
Yeah, it's disruptive. Disruptive. It's not good. Yeah. You know, look, at the time of that JBS incident, I recall listening to an NPR interview that had a cybersecurity expert on there who said that they had seen at least, I think they said like something like 40 similar attacks on food and beverage companies in the year prior. 40.
And those are just the one we know about, right? Like,
right, 10x that.
What's the ones that we don't know about? How big does that number become?
Well, I don't know, but it's got to be 10x, right? So, I mean, up and down the whole supply chain, catastrophic.
And I mean, and I guess that's just it. So we have one of the most efficient, most robust food supply chains in the world. Seriously. I mean, what we've accomplished is amazing. It's also extremely vulnerable to disruption. I mean, we see that just like in a weather event, right? Like how vulnerable the system can be in a weather event, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a blizzard, that sort of like on-time delivery, you know, there's not a lot of extra things in the queue in the warehouse and stuff, how quickly that shuts the supply chain down. Now you start extrapolating that with other risks, like cyber risks on top of that. It's crazy. And I mean, in produce, right? Or agriculture as a whole, we talk about water, we talk about labor, we talk about transportation. expectation, inflation, whatever, right? That's how we view business. That's what we think. Those are the real things. Those are the real risks. But ironically, each of those things has a tech component.
They're all interconnected, super efficient, interconnected supply chain. And like I was saying earlier, a lot of those companies, particularly say out of the grower packers and shippers into food service and retail, are very, very interconnected electronically with IT systems.
I'm having these like freaky, scary moments now. I'm starting to think, could somebody hack a tractor? I mean, water is at a premium, both for the good and bad, right? What if somebody turned on the water and wasted your water allocation and wouldn't turn it off? What if they shut it off and you can't water your plants at the right time and you lose a whole field of plants? I mean, I don't know. I mean, this seems crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we're going to talk about in this series, Melinda. I think we're going to hear from some awesome innovators transforming digital spaces, using tech to optimize production. Yeah, some of the weirdest ways that folks get hacked.
Okay, well, seriously, you can't throw that out there, like the weirdest ways people get hacked and then like not tell me what that is. Like, I'll lose sleep over that.
You want me to spin the wheel of crazy hacks?
Yeah, do it. Tell me what's a crazy way you can get hacked.
All right. Well, who would have guessed a Vegas casino was hacked via a thermometer in a fish tank?
What? That's not real. That's not a real thing.
Hit the Google. It's real. Or the Bing or whatever it is you do nowadays.
Is Bing still a thing?
Anyways, so look, it's actually a really super interesting story about the Internet of Things and exfiltration of a high roller database, you know, but we're going to chat with some super smart folks about topics other than cyber, right? There's more to it than cyber.
Well, of course. I mean, like, that's the whole thing of ag tech, right? It's so big. It's ag tech isn't just computers. It's not just cyber hacks. I mean, ag tech is the way we're changing and innovating food and our food supply chains. I mean, I don't remember the exact numbers, but there's been more innovation that's happened in the last 40 years than happened in the previous 100. And I mean, it's, you know, the timeline of innovation is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and we're doing more every day, which is super important because by the year 2050, we're going to need to produce nearly double the food calories we do today to feed the world. And that's a huge job. Like, how are we going to get it done, right? And we're only going to get that done with efficiency and technology, and ag tech will play a critical role in that. So at the end of the day, I mean, good technical management, good operations, good enterprise systems, they're going to be just as important as any production plan, any marketing plan. None of us are going to be out of a job. Food and food systems are honestly the most important thing out there. I can't wait for us to talk for, I don't know, what are we going to talk? 10, 12 times over the next, for the rest of the year, to some really cool people in this podcast. And we're going to talk about how we're going to build a better food supply chain. And we're going to talk to some of the best and brightest who are doing that to advance modern agriculture. I mean, what are you excited to hear about of the people we're going to talk to?
Look, you know, I just think it's going to be awesome and good fun. And, you know, every time I talk with folks in this industry, I come away a ton smarter. And so I'm looking forward to all of it.
This is what I love. You know, I grew up in this, and I think people in agribusiness are some of the smartest people out there. I mean, they have been solving problems since the earliest of time when they were breaking up land and figuring out how to make food with small plow and tiny seeds. And here we are.
Yeah,
it's amazing what they can accomplish. So I can't wait to learn more. Clearly, I'm going to go Google how a fish tank got hacked.
Do that.
And I'm going to wait and see what other weird ways there are to get hacked and what the best and brightest are doing in ag tech disruption.
Awesome. It's going to be fun.
Excellent. Hey, thanks so much. And thank you to the Packer. And we'll catch you and talk ag tech next time.
See y'all.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. It really struck me how important modern tech is to our produce businesses and to feeding the American people and, well, the world. Anyway, check out our other Tip of the Iceberg podcast episodes. In our last episode, I chat with Jason Holland of Firework, a live shoppable video company that partnered with The Fresh Market with award-winning results in customer engagement and produce and product purchases. If you like what you hear, please hit the subscribe button and rate us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. It really does help us out. And have you heard of our free professional development courses at produceedu.com? Our newest course focuses on the growing CEA, or controlled environment agriculture sector, giving insights on how tomatoes are grown in indoor, high-tech environments. There really seems to be a theme here with tech, doesn't there? Anyway, there's also a produce buying fundamentals course and a merchandising 101 course. And there's a lot of other courses too, and more coming. And when you print out these certificates or show proof that you took these professional development courses, it really can't hurt asking for a raise or a new role or getting a job. Remember, it's at produceedu.com. In this episode's show notes, you can find many ways to follow us for more produce information, news, tips, and insights. Thanks so much. Talk to you next time.